Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter number 3. Book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter number 3. We're going to dive into a little series for the next 3 to 4 weeks about the job of a pastor that God has called a man to do. There's 4 things that we're going to look at. I'm giving it to you in an acronym, and it's going to be the word TRIM. T-R-I-M, TRIM. I will give you the first thing that we are going to deal with tonight. I will give you the others as we come back next week and the week after that, of course. And hopefully it'll be a big help to you. The first one we're going to deal with tonight is the word teacher. The word teacher. Let's begin reading in verse number 15 of chapter number 3 of the book of Jeremiah. I hope I've already told you to turn there. Verse number 15, it says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Let's pray. Lord, as we gather back here again this evening, Lord, just really grateful of the things that you have already accomplished in our lives throughout this week. Things we were not even aware of. Lord, perhaps we were driving down the street and there was a car accident and you steered us away from those things. Lord, so many things that we just take for granted in our lives, and we are thankful for your protection. God, I thank you for allowing us to meet together again as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to go through your word. Lord, I pray that tonight would be encouraging. I pray, Lord, to be uplifting as well. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here tonight having a better understanding of the role of the pastor. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. There are many roles, or should I say, hats that a pastor wears at times. There are so many things that a pastor has to do that many of the church folks really don't have an idea of what they go through on a daily basis. I want you to think about this for a second. A pastor's job is tough. No, tough just like your job as well. But I want you to think about something. He has to get into God's Word. He has to study God's Word. And then he has to go and begin to develop a lesson plan through the teaching that God has given him. But throughout that period, before he even gets up into the pulpit, there's a lot of interruptions that takes place. Some things that will cause his mind to be steered away from the message that God has called him to do. And so I'm just saying this just to kind of help you to understand the importance of lifting your pastor up in prayer if you could. Those are some important things to do. One of the roles that a pastor has is not only just being a preacher, not only just being a pastor, but that is of an educator, one who teaches the people that God has called them to. Many of you have gone through school, high school, college, and you have had many teachers. And you can probably look back in your life and you can begin to be thankful for the great role models that they were in your life at that time. I look back at some of my teachers, not just in school, but I look back at some of my teachers in Sunday school, and I begin to think about what a big influence they have been in my life. And I'm not just talking teachers in that sense, but I can go back and even include mom and dad in there, brothers and sisters who had a desire to teach me. One of the things that I've taken out of this is the role of a teacher is to help you to see the potential that is in you, to be able to do the job or the task that is set before you. So they're there to mold you, they're there to encourage you, they're there to edify you, and obviously they are there to educate you. And I'm thankful for the ones that God has allowed to come in my life for those things. Now, a few of them are in glory today, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm looking forward to the day that I have in the near future to get reacquainted with them once again, to be able to really thank them for investing their time into not just in my life, but in other kids' life at that point in time to help mold them to be a better person for Jesus Christ. So for the next few weeks, we will examine these roles. One I gave you in the acronym of the word TRIM. So I'm going to give it to you this way. The first role of the pastor is this, that he is to be a teacher. There is a big difference between preaching and teaching. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to have trouble expounding on this. I remember the first time that I ever stepped up into this pulpit and began to preach. And I remember how difficult it was. But I also began to realize that there's more than just being a preacher. You got to be able to teach as well. I've heard many say this about our own pastor. I don't know if he's heard this, but I've had many people come to me, mainly from my wife's church up in Sioux City, Iowa. And that is this. Your dad, your pastor, is a preacher teacher. And I would agree with that. And he has been able to do that for so many years. But before I go on, every pastor out there, I must explain this. Because not everybody is alike. Not everybody teaches the same way. But so often we want to compare somebody to somebody else. And so before I even begin going on, don't compare me to anybody else. Because I am who God made me, and I'm able to teach only the way God has equipped me to teach. Now, there are some out there who has more knowledge, who has are able to expound more on a different subject. That's great, because that's the gift that God gave them. My gift's totally different. So every pastor out there has a totally different style when it comes to preaching and when it comes to teaching. I remember years ago, as I was able to go over to Twin City and help out Pastor Josh over there, and Pastor Josh is over there, his dad's over there, and there's another young man by the name of Chris. By the way, he spoke here before. I know you guys know who I'm talking about if I was to show you a picture of him. And I remember as I began to step into the pulpit and begin to preach and teach there, I was like, wow, I really don't know what I'm doing here, because here I am, I'm following these guys. These guys have, it seems to me, all the knowledge that a guy could have, and here I am just poor little me. But I had to really get comfortable in my own skin. And I had to think, you know, this is how God made me. God designed me to preach a certain way. God designed me to teach a certain way, and I cannot compare myself to anybody else. So we all have different preaching, teaching styles. And with that being said, it can become very intimidating when preaching to a crowd of preachers. It really can. Some of you might not understand that because you've never been in a pulpit. You've never taken the time to prepare a lesson in front of a crowd unless you're teaching a class. But it's intimidating to preach to a crowd of preachers, because they get out their pen, they get out their notebook, and here's what they do. They begin to criticize. Well, he didn't say that exactly right. Well, he didn't read scripture properly. He took out a word there. And so we begin to put on our critical hats. Some, however, when it comes to preaching and teaching, and I will follow in this category here, some will take the long way to explain things. That's who I am by nature, because I have developed something in the past of being able to tell stories. Now, there's a man that we used to have in our church who is a greater storyteller than I ever was, and that's Brother Al Wells. I mean, Brother Al Wells, he can get up here and he can begin to go off on a story. The next thing you know, you're floating in the clouds with him, because all of a sudden he's flying around in an airplane. That's what he used to do. Do you remember that? And I don't know if he did that to keep the young kids awake or if he did that to keep Pastor awake. I don't know those things. But some will take the long way to explain things. I'm trying to develop something here, so please bear with me. And others will go about it the short way. There's no elaboration, there's nothing, and they get right to the point. But understand what they're doing. They are exercising the gift that God gave them. By the way, you and I, whether we're up here in the pulpit or whether we're here in the pew or whether we're here in the piano station or up there leading songs, God has given all of us a gift, and we all should be exercising our gift. There shouldn't be any excuse for us not to be exercising the gift. The last thing that we should do is to, as I said a little bit earlier, is to compare preachers to each other. You shouldn't do those things. As we continue to go on in this, a pastor can be a teacher in many ways. But one of his main jobs is this, is to teach the Bible, is to teach the Bible. I stopped over, I was visiting with my dad last night just for a little bit, and we had a little bit of discussion about the Word of God last night, and he's still able to teach, not just from the pulpit, but he's still able to teach from his chair in his own living room. I thank God for that. In order for the pastor to teach, here's what needs to take place in a pastor's life. He needs to study the Word of God. By the way, let me point this out. A false teacher doesn't study the Word of God. They don't, which makes them false. But a pastor needs to study the Word of God. Now, how would you like it if you sent your kids or your grandkids to school and you put them underneath a teacher who had no teaching skills or didn't even put any time or effort into the subject that they were trying to teach? Well, automatically, we'd all probably pull our kids out of the school. Because we'd probably say, well, they're not well prepared. They didn't put enough study time into it. Things of those nature. But a pastor needs to study the Word of God. I know some pastors, for a 35, 40-minute message, will study this out between 6 to 8 hours just for a 35, 40-minute message. That's a lot. And they're only able to get up there and to be able to speak for 35, 40 minutes on a particular subject. And that's what needs to take place in the life of the pastor. In order for him to teach, he must study the Word of God. Study for what? To show thyself approved. Every single week that a preacher, teacher, however you want to put it, steps into the pulpit, you should see growth in that individual. If you don't see growth, there might be something that you should be concerned about. By the way, are they going to make mistakes? Yes, they're going to make mistakes. I've played many sports. I've tried to perfect every single sport I played in. And as I try to do those things, guess what takes place? I make mistakes. And that happens. Don't fault the preacher or the teacher for making mistakes. But so often people do. They hold it against them. They hang it above their head. Well, you misquoted this, and you misinterpreted this, and you took this out of context. How dare you, you worthless man? Now, how about instead of being so critical and being so negative towards the pastor, preacher, teacher, and do something that would be beneficial, and that is this. Lord, would you please help him? He might have misinterpreted this, and I don't think he meant it this way, but God, I really want you to help him in this area. God, help him to become more wiser, if that's a word I can use, to the Word of God. So often, and we're so quick to come down on individuals instead of lifting them up. Boy, we'd live in a different world if we're able just to lift one another up. What an encouraging time that would be to be able to do those things. You know, when I got done preaching at Calvary last week, I had so many people, and I say so many people, we only had a group of 23 with us, and I'm acting as if I had 23,000 with me. But out of that group, just seemed to take place. And that was just people coming up encouraging. And they would say stuff like this. Thank you for being a voice for your father. What a tremendous message. To me, that's encouraging. So we need to be encouraging to those things. Another word that we can use for teach is mentioned in this verse number 15. Let's read it again. It says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you." So another word for teach is the word feed. This is also found, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 21. John chapter 21, we'll read verses 15 through 17 here. And Jesus begins to talk to Simon Peter here. He says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him," what's that say, folks? "Feed my lambs." Feed my, well, what is Peter supposed to feed them? Jesus is not talking about going out and grabbing your bow and maybe your knife and seeing a goat afar off and slaying that and bringing it to the dinner table. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is telling Peter, "Hey, I have a word that I'm leaving with you, and I want you, first of all, to study the word, and then I want you to feed them the word." Feed it to them. Well, how is that going to take place? Well, let's continue to go on here because I want to finish reading this. He said to them again, verse number 16, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Have you noticed that on several different occasions, things happen in threes? When you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus do? He went and prayed. How many times did he go to his disciples and find them sleeping? Three times. When Jesus was at the cross, before he went to the cross, Jesus told Peter how many times he was going to deny him? Three times. Now we're here in the book of John. What is Jesus doing to Peter? Three times he is mentioning to him the importance of feeding the sheep, teaching them the word of God. A pastor that doesn't have a desire to teach / feed his sheep is a pastor that I would urge you to stay away from. I want you to think about this. When I talk about the word feed, many of us in here, we've had the experience of raising our kids. And one of the things that we've did as they were growing up is we fed them. But how did we feed them? How did we get them to a place of eating on their own? We had to teach them, didn't we? We had to teach them. And this is what we are, pastors are trying to do, is see, get the believers to see the importance of feeding on God's word. And then as they feed on God's word, they're able to read the word of God on their own. There is a reason why teaching is so important to the believer. It's for this. It's for personal growth. Every pastor, his desire should teach his people for this reason, so that the people that are underneath him will have a desire to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about getting up to the dinner table and getting all you can eat and doing absolutely nothing with it. Because that's really what kind of takes place is in our churches today. I call those spiritually overweight believers who decide just to come in and get all they want, and it's like a buffet, but they don't do nothing with it. There's no spiritual growth. A pastor teaches for this reason. A pastor has a desire to feed the people that God has called them to for this reason, so that they can experience personal growth in their life. And that's what should be desired. I got a text the other day from a young lady in our church, and I appreciate this very much. And it showed the growth and the maturity level of this young person. And it was just a simple text of a scripture verse that they wanted to use to lift me up. How does that take place in this church? It takes place because of a pastor having a desire to teach his people so that they can have personal growth in their life. And then when they begin to have personal growth in their life, they're able to spread that to other people that are around them. That's the whole goal. And that was so encouraging, and it was so uplifting just to get that. You know what that did for me? It took my eyes off my problems just for a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, wow. You know, if I can just think the way some people think, I wouldn't be so focused upon the negative. And that was encouraging to me. Teaching / feeding is to help an immature believer to become mature / healthy in their walk with Christ. That's what we should be desiring to see from the pulpit. Healthy, mature Christians living for God. That's exciting. You know, last week we walked around in Israel, Jerusalem quite a bit, and we heard so much teaching from the Word of God, not just from the Word of God, we heard it from our tour guide as well. And I was just amazed at the knowledge of individuals that were in our group. It amazed me. There are some conversations that took place on the bus that I checked out of because I'm thinking to myself, well, this is a little bit deep, and I'm not qualified to jump on this, and so I just sat there and listened. I listened for their knowledge in those areas. Teaching doesn't always take place in or at the pulpit. Sometimes it's done in a form of discipleship class. Also, in those settings, you got to understand this. In those settings, you have to be careful not to go too deep. For this reason, you don't feed a 2-month-old baby steak, do you? Does any of you remember being 2 months old and your mom and dad feeding you steak or chicken or liver? No, they fed you slop. What do you mean slop? Gerber. Mashed potatoes, smashed carrots, smashed peas. None of us liked it because every time mom and dad put that spoon up in our mouth, what do we do? We all did that. None of us liked those things. So let's just get it off our chest right now. Mom and dads, we didn't like those things. But we have to be careful. Because you don't want to give them too much to where, man, they're saying, oh, man, this is too deep. I can't take this. They're giving me too much. No, we got to teach in, can I say the word, sections? We got to be careful of those things. I personally believe we shouldn't teach people to be so close-minded about things. Being close-minded is saying you know it all. And there's nothing else for you to be taught. I know some closed-minded people. And they come with an attitude saying, you know, there's nothing new that you can teach me. I've already studied all the stars and the galaxies. I've already studied everything else. I know everything about the grass and the dirt and all those things. And there's nothing that you can teach me. Why? They're closed-minded. Imagine being a pastor in a church for 48 years. Dealing with people that think that way. What I've learned as I've gone through Scripture is this. Every single time I open it up, every single time that a man of God preaches to me, I'm still learning something from God's Word. Why? Because I don't know it all. There are subjects that I do not know. But the great thing that I'm able to do is I'm still able to be educated. I'm still willing to be taught. And I love learning new things about the Lord. Sometimes they might seem new because we forget. We forget. In my recent trip to Israel, there were some things that I heard and taught to me that I was unaware of. With that being said, be careful on who you allow to teach you. If you're involved in a local church, my personal belief is your teaching should come from your local pastor. Because God's called him to teach you. And I'm not telling you shouldn't listen to anybody else. I'm not saying that at all, because I listen to other people. But be careful who you let into your life, because you don't want no false teachers. The purpose of teaching, as we go on here, is to give someone knowledge of the subject that they are being taught. It says again, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Today I have more knowledge of the lifestyle of a Jewish person from what I have known in times past. Just because I have allowed myself to figure out their lifestyle a little bit more and some other things being there. But here's some things that I was not aware of. For instance, back in the day, at the age of 13, a young boy was considered a man in the Jewish colony. Can you imagine today looking around at a 13-year-old young man, a boy today, and saying, they are a man? It's changed so much since that time. Well, what has changed? I can name one thing, a work ethic. Today we have, and it's not just kids, it's parents who know how to twirl their thumbs on a console more than they know how to go out and grab a rake or a mower or a shovel. See, the reason why they were looked and considered a man back in that time at the age of 13, because they were doing men's work. They were doing hard work. They were doing mature people's work, and they grew up fast. I see a lot of 13-year-old boys today, and I'm thinking to myself, God, please help our country. I honestly do, and I'm not trying to put people down. I'm being realistic what I see. I know what mom and dad expected out of me when I was 13 years of age. You guys don't know this, but before that gym was even there and before all that concrete was even in place, there was a field full of grass. And we didn't have the privilege of going out and buying a 24-hour lawn service with goats and cows. Mom and dad had 6 kids. That was their way of keeping a yard up. By the way, they practiced what they preached too. They just didn't say, Jeff, go out there and mow the yard. No, they would show us how to mow the yard. A lot of you folks don't know how hard of a worker my mom is still. She used to mow that yard all by herself. At the house, we took care of everything else, and she took care of that. She was a worker. But we don't have that taking place today. Here's something that took place that really astonished me last week. Jeff and I, we were walking in Bethlehem. Not too many people can say that, but Jeff and I can say that. As we're walking in Bethlehem, and we're going to one of we're overlooking the field where they believe the wise men were in as they were told about the birth of Jesus. And as we're walking down the pathway there was a backhoe and there was a pave loader that was going. Jeff didn't notice this at first because One of my jobs was, as I told you Sunday, I had to stay back and make sure everybody was safe. And so as I was at the end of the line and everybody's going to their station where they're supposed to go to learn of this particular setting, I looked at this backhoe. I mean, it's going back and forth, back and forth. And it's picking up the dirt. It's dropping the dirt. It's doing so much work. And I looked in that cab, and guess what I saw? I saw a boy between the age of 13 and 15 years of age. And I began to think, wow, this place is nuts. They just let kids work. No, it's going back to how their traditions. And then as we were coming back, I was able to grab Jeff, and I said, hey, Jeff, there's a young boy in this backhoe that's working. And he began to look, and he wasn't there. The reason why he wasn't there is because he got out of the backhoe and he went to the pave loader. And you know what? It was his day off of school. Wouldn't that be a different sight to see when kids are out of school, they're actually working, being beneficial to their country, their countrymen? Think about that. Before I go on, here's something else that I learned. We were over there, and they celebrated Independence Day. I'm thankful for their Independence Day because they do it a lot different than us. The government controls the fireworks. There's no fireworks going off all sorts of hours because you do that in that country, you think different. Jeff and I were in a hotel that night, and we heard some fireworks going off, and it was the city or whatever, they were doing it, and you know what came to my mind? Great, we're being attacked. That's what came to my mind. But here's something that they did over there. I want to share this with you. They have 3 days of independence. The first day, or 2 days, the first day, they mourn. They mourn the loss of the soldiers and ones who have fell victim to terrorists. So they take that time, they set it aside. They start off the night before with a siren for everybody to have a moment of silence. And then the next day, here's what they do. And I actually got it on video. They do the sirens again at 11 o'clock, and the whole entire country stand still out of respect for the soldiers who gave up their lives for their freedom. I was thinking to myself, man, I wish our country could do something like that. Knowledge is giving someone the information or the skills for practical understanding of a subject. My personal goal every time I step into the pulpit is to help someone have more knowledge of the Bible. A pastor teaches / feeds the sheep for knowledge. And then as he moves on, the next step is in teaching is to help people to have an understanding of God's word. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Bill Guinea is a man that many of you folks will never meet. Jeff had the opportunity to meet him last time for the first time, His best explanation for him and his wife is this. They are the Florida's Doc and Dee. They really are. Just sweet, genuine people who has a love for God and for God's people. He has more knowledge of the Old Testament than anyone I know. That's his gift that God has given him. But when he teaches, he's wanting to pass that knowledge on, but he's wanting to do something else that I've begun to appreciate more this time around. I don't know if it's because of his age, and it was probably the last time I was going to be around him through this, but I've had the privilege to sit under his teaching, and his main objective was this. It's twofold. One is to give you knowledge. Second, he wanted us to have a better understanding of what we're seeing through the Word of God. And I believe he did a fantastic job with that. Also, with all the knowledge that he has, he's not afraid to admit when he is wrong. And that is a great quality to have. By the way, continue to pray for him. He's still over there in Israel. Won't be able to come home until probably Friday or Saturday. As I close with this, God has called the pastor not only to just preach, but he has called him to teach. Pastors teach totally different than I do. But he and I both have the same goal. He's been around a lot longer than I have. He's got more wisdom. He's got more knowledge. He's got more understanding of God's word. I'm a lot younger than he is, and I'm still trying to get where he's at. Even though we have different teaching styles, even though we have different preaching styles, we still have the same goal, and that is this. That is to draw people closer to God by helping them to have more knowledge and more understanding of God's word. So that is one of the acronyms that we are going through tonight, and that is teacher. Next week I will give you the R word, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you. It's been a joy being here. I didn't know how I was going to do tonight. I feel like I've been off for quite some time, but as I begin to think about it, I preached three or four times over in Israel, so it wasn't really any different, to be honest with you. But it is a joy to be back with you folks. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be here tonight. I thank you for, Lord, first of all, for the pastor that you've given us, for his desire to teach your people. Lord, I pray that as I continue to go forth, that I would continue to improve in the area of teaching. God, I pray that you would help all of us to become better teachers in our homes, in our jobs, wherever you send us. We pray that you be glorified through these things. We ask it in your name. Amen.